Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you all. Good to be with you all. If you would stand, let's take a look at the scripture. Pray that this word would encourage you this morning. I remember those days in seminary. You come to chapel looking for the word, right? Amen. You need a word from the Lord. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, as has been mentioned. Let me just see here. All right, let's read starting at verse 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages begun, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for the privilege of bringing your word to your people, and specifically these students and faculty members of this wonderful institution. God, we all need wisdom from you, and we all need your spirit to help us endure. And so I pray that you would minister deeply into the recesses of our hearts, and massage this truth deep within us, and that we would be transformed into the image of your Son. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just say off the bat that despite what you have done or have not done today or this past week or even in your lifetime, you are loved more than you can ever imagine. And as the work of salvation through Jesus has been done on our behalf, it has provided everything that we need in order to stand and endure until the end. One of the main ideas, or the big idea of this text that we see clearly in verses 8 through 14, is that since the Holy Spirit within us is based upon what Jesus has done, we can suffer with hope and rely on Jesus to the end. So my heart today is to show you why you can suffer until the end through the Holy Spirit. The first thing I would say is that the Holy Spirit inside of us as believers gives us the courage to rely on his power, his love, and self-control. We see it here in verse 7. Paul reminds Timothy what God has given us. Notice he says us. He does not say you. He realizes that courage originates from the Holy Spirit and not from our own effort to be courageous. We all struggle with fear, no matter how courageous we may think we are. We all struggle with fear. That's just the reality of the human spirit. Frankly, we are all cowards at times, at different times and seasons in our lives. However, the Spirit of God gives us courage through God's power. And that's good news. And that's good news as seminary students. That's good as faculty members who've been teaching for quite a long time. That's good news. Apart from the Spirit, we wouldn't be able to endure to the end. The Holy Spirit is doing something in us that we cannot see. That's why whenever we hear about this idea of courage being present, we also know that power is being displayed, love is being given, and self-control is evident. And we can't help but credit that to the Spirit's work inside of us. The second thing we see in this text is that the Holy Spirit doesn't produce shame when we proclaim the gospel or receive the outcomes from it. We see that in verse 8. The Bible says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." Now, why does Paul say this? Well, Paul knows that apart from relying on the Holy Spirit of God within us, we'd be all ashamed of the gospel and the outcomes that it produces. No matter how courageous we would say we are, and no matter how we convince ourselves, all of us apart from the Spirit would disassociate ourselves with anything that is inconvenient or uncomfortable or able to tarnish our image of ourselves. As much as Peter loved Jesus, when he denied Jesus three times, it wasn't because he did not love Jesus, but it was because that in that moment, he and his identity mattered more than following his Savior. Our only hope is in not being ashamed of the gospel is the Spirit's work inside of us. It does not matter what seminary degree we have. It does not matter what background we had or how we were raised. Our only hope in not running from the realities of standing up for the truth is the Holy Spirit of God. We can tell ourselves all we want to, not to be ashamed, but guess what? We will be ashamed. Paul is telling Timothy, he says, Timothy, the gospel that has been given to you through Christ has given you this spirit that produces power, love, and self-control. And he says, do not be ashamed of the gospel. He says, there is no shame with the gospel. You don't have to hide in a corner with the gospel. You don't have to avoid talking about the gospel. He says, we win. Jesus has won. Our sin is no more. The penalty has been done away with. And we are all no longer sin before God, but righteous in his sight. And one day we're going to spend eternity with him. And there is no shame in that. There is only joy. So Paul looks at Timothy and he says, keep preaching. Keep proclaiming the truth of the gospel. The third thing we see is that we get the privilege of being invited to suffer for the gospel while trusting in God's power. Now you say, now, this idea of suffering, I think I'm already tasting that in seminary. Gee whiz, that gospels class is just something else, right? You see, since we belong to Jesus and possess his spirit that produces power, we can share in his suffering while trusting him. Paul is telling Timothy not to cower from agitation because of the gospel, but join the party of suffering. He says it's a privilege that we receive because of the gospel. He invites Timothy and us to join in because without a clear understanding of and belief in the gospel, listen to me, we will avoid suffering at all costs and live lives married to our own comfort and our own security. But the good news is that our sin has been forgiven. Righteous is our standing before God, and heaven is our home. Also, some good news, too, is if we endure, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. You see, because of the Holy Spirit at work in us, we can proclaim the gospel and trust in God's faithful power to keep us enduring. How many people need to be endurers today? The fourth thing we see is that we are saved for all eternity by Jesus and are called by him to walk worthy of him. We see that in verse 9. This gospel is what Paul reminds Timothy of. He says, you and I can share in the suffering for the gospel because we have been made alive by the gospel and called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The salvation is not by our courage. It's not by our power. It's not by our love. It's not by our self-control or anything else. It's because of God's own purpose and grace. You see, nothing in us can help us endure suffering. but it's the salvation based upon God's purposes for saving us and his unmerited kindness poured out despite our sin. You see, your endurance and my endurance of any sort is a testament to God's purpose and grace and the Spirit at work inside of us. Our hope is in Christ, and it's made possible before the world was. Nothing in this world that we do or does can save us. If that doesn't stop you in your tracks, I don't know what will. The fifth thing that we see in this text is that Jesus' life, his burial, his resurrection, it assures us that we will live for all eternity, no matter what happens to us on this earth. There are many of us here who have experienced tragedy in the midst of attending seminary. Many of us maybe have lost children in utero. Many of us maybe are struggling having children. Maybe some of us have lost loved ones who are very dear to us. Listen to me. Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection assures us that we will live for all eternity no matter what happens to us on the earth. Look at verse 9 in the text. He says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. This life is not all, isn't all there is. Seminary is not all there is. This earth isn't our home. This life isn't ours to preserve as if we will live here forever. Heaven is our home. Eternity is our dwelling place. Listen to me. In the next 100 years from now, you'll be living. In the next thousands of years from now, we'll be chatting about this in perfect bodies. Listen, the Holy Spirit is our deposit. It's the first fruits that the promise will come. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. That's why he is willing, so willing, to invite Timothy to join in the suffering for the gospel. Because one day this is going to appear as a blip of pain compared to the joys and glory of heaven. You see, he mentions the gospel here to remind Timothy that understanding the gospel and its implications to those who believe empowers us to not fear and to not try to keep our lives, but to give our lives away. This is good news, and it's good news worth suffering for. So as you prepare for your Hebrew exam, as you prepare for your Greek exam, know that it's good to suffer. Sixth point he says in this text. He says the mission that Jesus gives us to proclaim the gospel is why we suffer. He says, so now that as a believer, God will give all of us a role that proclaims the gospel. Everyone doesn't have the same role. Everyone has their own mission to fulfill. That's why it's not necessary to compare your mission with others in a self-righteous way. If God calls you to a mission, you're proclaiming the gospel and consequently will suffer for it. Paul said, this gospel is what appointed me a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. He says, my mission is to proclaim the gospel through preaching and teaching. And for this mission, you will suffer as you proclaim the gospel. And many times in hermeneutics and your homiletics class, you'll think it's all about impressing your professor or getting through in order to get a good grade. But listen to me, as a preacher and a proclaimer of the gospel, for those who will do that, you will suffer much. You will suffer persecution. You will have people question what you say, even though you preach the gospel of Jesus. You will find yourself discouraged at times, wondering whether you proclaim truth because no one reacted to that truth. Listen, all of us are ambassadors of reconciliation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18, which requires that we become proclaimers of the gospel. Paul is in prison and about to die because of the proclamation of the gospel. It's this confidence in the God of the Bible and his purposes that keeps him unashamed. The seventh thing we see in this text, and I just got one more after this, Jesus guards and protects us and the gospel. We see that in verse 12. Paul said that I suffer, but I am not ashamed. Why does Paul say that? Well, Paul says that, he says, because I know who I have believed. I know Jesus, and I believe in him and what he has done for me and can do for others. And I am convinced that he is able to guard and protect me and the gospel that he has entrusted to me. He says, I'm not ashamed. We know that in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He says, I know him, what he has done, and that he will keep me until the end. Listen to me, as a seminary student, you're going to have to be prepared as you step out into pastorates or the mission field or teaching in a Christian school or some other type of ministry, or even some of our sisters going into counseling agencies or counseling within your particular church. Listen, you're going to have to know that you must not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is life. The gospel is good news. Now, this is not something that Paul just decided. The Spirit had worked in him all his life to bring him to this point. And let me let you know something really quick. As you endure as a Christian, God's got you. As you endure through seminary, guess what? God got you. He didn't make a mistake in calling you here. Even though at times you feel like you're never going to finish, or you feel like you're always going to be discouraged, God's got you. God's got you when you get A's. God's got you when you get C's. And Lord, have mercy when you get D's. He can keep you, and the gospel at the same time can keep you. This is the hope that he seeks to offer Timothy and us who believe in him. Last point I'll say is this, the eighth thing. The Holy Spirit enables us to obey Jesus and carry out the ministry that he commits to our care. So he says this. He says, Timothy, stay the course. And I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. I don't know who's toggling between discouragement and despair. But listen to me. Stay the course. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Listen, seminary students, stay the course. I have over 25 years or plus of seminary education and undergrad education. And there are plenty of times, even in my dissertation process, that I did not want to stay the course. I was looking for every reason possible to not get a PhD. I said, well, can I take the credits that I have and convert that into a D-min and maybe do that a little bit more casually and not necessarily have a dissertation to complete? I was planting a church, taking care of a wife that was sick at the time, trying to be a great father. There were plenty of things that were happening in my life that I could have said, no, that's enough. But the whispering of the Holy Spirit within me and those people that God used spoke into my life, and they said, Dwayne, no, stay the course. God didn't make any mistakes when he called you to what he has called you. And you know what? I am so glad that I stayed the course, because now I see on the other side all that God used me to do. Stay true to sound instruction. Paul says, stay true to sound instruction that I've given to you, believing in it and the love that God has for you. He says, for the Holy Spirit of God, Timothy, dwells within you and us, and it will guard the gospel which has been entrusted to you to the end. Beloved, are you weary? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you wondering if it's all worth it? I'll say this, trust the Spirit. Trust the Spirit's work inside of you. Trust the glorious gospel and keep enduring. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit's power at work in you. As a seminary student, although you have studied and you have prepared yourself as best as you possibly can, I've been there. I've studied Greek. I've studied 4 years of Greek, right? I've had times in my life when I looked at it and I said, I'm prepared for the test. and I didn't do well. And I've had times in my life that I studied all I could. And I said, Spirit of God, if you don't move through me to give me the answers to this, I'm not going to do well. And the Spirit of God has showed up. Through the gospel, that will complete the work in you to help you not give up. May you keep on enduring. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much, God, for our time. Thank you for this word in Timothy. And thank you that, God, you have encouraged us through it. And I pray, Father, that you would help my fellow students here, that we would not give up, that we would know that you can guard us, you can protect us, you can keep us. Father, what you have started in us, you said you will complete it even into the day of Jesus. And so we trust that everything that you're doing in us is for a reason. Continue to grow us up. Continue to make us more like you. Help us not to get discouraged. Help us not to throw in a towel. Help us to stand and endure to the end. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.